today. The first one is from Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, and it's 1175 in the Pew Bibles. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The next reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
In the two scripture readings we read this morning, there was a phrase that came up, an expression. I wonder if you noted that common expression. It was the expression to bear with one another. I like that image, I have to say. Bear with one another. Bearing with one another has been defined as being tolerant towards other Christians, towards their, there's a word, I don't know if you know this word, we use it, sometimes use it, idiosyncrasies, our quirks, our strange habits, our particular ways of doing things, which we all have. A person might tap their foot twice before sitting down, or always button their shirt from the bottom up. Or if you have a cheese slicer, which we have in our family, I always slice it away from me. My wife always does it the opposite direction. She thinks I do it the wrong way, right? A person might have a favorite word or phrase that they use frequently, or a specific way of greeting people. Some people might repeat words or phrases when they're nervous or they're thinking hard. I remember as I was growing up, I noted that my father, when he was concentrating, his tongue would come out like that. When he was concentrating hard on a job. I don't know, maybe I do the same thing. I'll have to ask my children. Some people need to arrange things in a certain order, like lining up books in a shelf or folding clothes in a particular way, straightening pictures on the wall. That's one of my quirks. When I go into somebody's house and Perhaps I've got an art background and I don't know. I would go and I would straighten somebody's picture. I would do that. It bugs me. And I would go, I have to straighten it. We all have got strange quirks or idiosyncrasies. Initially, it's maybe funny, curious, but like every habit, over time, they can irritate people. That phrase that person repeats, it can stick in your mind. And that's all you hear. Right? And it can bug you over a period of time. We've not only to bear with each other's idiosyncrasies, but also our weaknesses. Some of us are disorganized. Some are easily distracted or quick-tempered or stubborn or indecisive or impulsive or overly pessimistic or overly optimistic or independent or too laid back or always late. Some of us are perfectionistic. In its doses, the right doses, that's a good thing. But if it's overly perfectionistic, we have personality weaknesses that can irritate and annoy each other. Think of how hard it must have been for Jesus, the holy, sinless Son of God, to journey for 3 years with his disciples, spending every day together. The Bible doesn't gloss over their weaknesses. Thomas with his doubts, or their fears, or their impulsiveness, or their pride, or James and John, the sons of thunder, their fiery tempers, or jealousy, or selfish ambition. And yet our Lord was so bearing with them. And yes, there were times he had to admonish them, but he never stopped loving them. And we know that verse at the end of John's Gospel. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. And if you're a believer, our Lord has the same attitude towards you. And since you opened your heart to him, he journeys with us every day. He lovingly bears with us our personality, flaws and imperfections and weaknesses. And yes, he has to at times admonish us for our good, but he will never stop loving us. How can we become more like him? How can we bear with one another like him? Well, the verses that we read reveal what we need. And first of all, it's love, isn't it? Love. Bearing with one another in love. Over all these virtues, put on love. And love is a word that's been spoiled and been marred in the world that we're living in. It's a word that's been abused, and we need the Bible to reveal to us truly what love is like. And we read these words. This is how God shows his love towards us. This is how God demonstrates. And we see a different dimension of love from what we see in the world. A love of expressed in Jesus Christ. A love that the Holy Spirit seeks to work out in our character and actions in the lives of believers. So if I said to you this morning, right, to bear with one another, but just need to love one another, would that help you? I don't know if that would help you. That's why it's great that Scripture goes into a bit more detail and spells out what love means. And we need that. We need that. So we're to bear with one another. First of all, we need patience. Patience is hard, isn't it? Patience. Paul's instruction to bear with one another in Ephesians and Colossians that we read is immediately preceded by the virtue patience. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And Colossians 3, verse 12. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. The King James Version uses the word long-suffering. That's a good definition of patience. And if you were to turn to Colossians 1, verse 10, it links patience and great endurance together. So to bear with each other, we need long suffering, great endurance, patience. Recognizing that not one of us are perfect. All of us fail, particularly in human relationships. How easy it is for us to expect more from other Christians than we expect from ourselves. In a family, we get to know one another like no other social unit. We live together day after day, week after week, year after year. And as a family, members of a family unit, we are seen at our best and our worst by our parents and children. Parents often expect more from their children than they do from themselves. Children often expect more from their parents than from other adults in their lives. And together, this dynamic often erupts in anything but patience and long-suffering and endurance from one another. The same is true in the family of God, in the church where people get to know one another as they should. They also get to know one another's idiosyncrasies and weaknesses, pastor included. The challenge God's word gives to us is that we are to bear with one another in love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is not easily angered. When tempted to be impatient with one another, we need to think about Jesus Christ and his attitude towards us. That was Paul's secret. We read that at the beginning. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Seeing himself, Paul, as the worst of sinners and experiencing God's love and patience and saving him caused Paul to respond to others with the love and patience of Jesus Christ. So if we are to be long-suffering and patient with others, we need to think about God's love and patience towards sinners like us, sinners like me. Ask God to open our eyes afresh to that and give us a love that is patient with one another. We can't work that up. We need to ask God, give me that patience that I need to bear with my brothers and sisters. And secondly, we also need to have a forgiving spirit. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. It's forgiveness, isn't it? One day Peter came to Jesus and asked, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Don't we love Peter for that question? You know? Thank you, Peter, for that question. Because it's our natural reaction to minimize it. Up to seven times, says Peter. Finding it difficult, as we do, thinking that seven is the perfect number. Well, is that where the bar is set? Jesus replies, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. But Jesus is not saying that 490 times is the upper limit, but that in light of the fact that we have been forgiven by God far more than we will ever forgive, we should not put a limit. Forgiveness cannot be limited by frequency or quantity. And Jesus illustrates this by telling a parable about a king's servant who owed a king an unpayable debt of 10,000 talents of silver, approximately £500 million. Mercifully, the king forgave him. However, after receiving such incredible forgiveness, he refuses to show mercy to a fellow servant who owed him only £10. It was nothing in comparison. When the king and the master heard, in anger, he turned him over to the jailers until he paid back all that he owed. Jesus applies this parable saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive you your brother and sister from your heart. Solemn words. When we think of the incalculable debt of sin we have been forgiven by God, how ungrateful, how sinful it is for a Christian to hold a grudge against a fellow believer. God treats it as sin. So to bear with one another, we need a forgiving spirit. We need to remember how much God has forgiven us. And as a result, be prepared to forgive grievances that we have with one another. We need to pray, Lord, give us the kind of love that is willing to forgive, to let go of, not hold a record of wrongs against our brothers and sisters. So first of all, patience. Love is patient. Secondly, forgive us. Forgiveness, being willing to forgive. And then thirdly, we also need hard work. Hard work at bearing with one another. Immediately after Paul's injunction in Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Patience, long-suffering, forgiveness are not automatic actions that follow becoming a Christian. They involve deliberate actions of the will. It's the same with holding an unforgiving spirit. It's a choice as well, isn't it? We choose to let the person who's offended us know how we feel by avoiding that person, by using cutting and sharp words. It's a choice. We deliberately do this. By talking behind that person's back. That's a deliberate action, isn't it? However, Christians who really care for each other, who really are concerned about doing the will of God at all times, will make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That is Christianity in action. I remember as a relatively young Christian holding a grudge against a number of people who had hurt me. And if I told you the story, now I would get your sympathy. You would say, no, it's quite right that you felt that way. I would feel the same way as well. I remember going to a speaking event in Aberdeen. There was a speaker called R.T. Kendall. And it just happened, he spoke about forgiveness. And he spoke about his experience of being sinned against. And he happened to share that with a friend, expecting him to say, yeah, that's quite right. That's quite right. But he said, the friend said, he needed to forgive. He needed to forgive that person because he was grieving the Holy Spirit. And as long as he did that, he was keeping himself in prison, in chains. So hearing that, I was challenged. I had to make a deliberate action to forgive those who hurt me. And I did. It involved sending a letter to those who had hurt me. I mean, in the situation, what it was actually the leaders in the church that I was brought up with. They were divided over an issue, but they presented themselves as a united front. They thought they were trying to protect the young people. They were being legalistic. They were binding. They were lacked in wisdom, and they lost a whole generation of young people through this. They didn't want young people to mix with other Christians who they felt were a little bit more worldly. And in their sense of worldly was because they didn't wear hats when they gathered to worship, or because maybe some of the women wore trousers. And that was a reason to break fellowship with other Christians. And I was in this committee. There was an event that was being organized for young people for within the whole region, within the Brethren denomination. And when the elders saw the list, the letter, Peterhead Assembly, but also Fernley Gospel Hall, Deeside Christian Fellowship, but they're worldly. We don't want our young people to mix with them. And we were called to, they said, look, you have to obey those who rule over you, but go away and think about it and pray about it before God. And we could understand why we couldn't meet with other Christians. And we came back and we said, look, I'm sorry. In our understanding, we just feel that it's wrong. We have to meet with other Christians. It's okay. We couldn't understand, and we ended up being disciplined. And the church almost split through this. And yes, there were people saying, yes, you did the right thing. You did the right thing in responding that way. But I held a grudge. And maybe we were right. The judgment seat of Christ will indicate. But I held a grudge against those leaders. And that was not right. And I needed to express to them that my attitude was wrong. And I asked for their forgiveness. I sent a letter to them. I asked for forgiveness. And then I made a point of going and visiting that I was actually, we were disciplined in that church, and we ended up leaving at a later stage. But I went back to that church, and I met with him, and I spoke with those elders, and we had a good relationship. My mother's funeral was in that church. We were working with them, with the leaders in that church. And their attitude changed over the years. They recognized that they were wrong in the way that they responded in that situation. So bearing with one another, and this forgiveness, it requires effort, hard work, doing things. The rubber's got to hit the road. You maybe got to write that letter. You've got to go around and see them. You've got to maybe say you're sorry. It takes effort. It takes work. We need to work hard at bearing with one another. It's so much more than just a feeling. Love, it's a feeling. It's a deliberate act of the will. It's a choice to love one another as Christ has loved us, by patiently, with long suffering, with effort, bearing with each other's weaknesses, idiosyncrasies. And when they sin against us, as they will, as you will, you'll sin against your brother and sister at some point, and they'll sin against you at some point. What do we do then? We're to remember the debt of forgiveness. Do we leave the church? We're to remember the debt of forgiveness we have experienced from God and extend God's forgiveness to them as well. Now it's up to them whether they receive it, but you've played the right part as far as God is concerned. So, bearing with one another in love. Bear with one another in love. With patience, long suffering, forgiveness. And be prepared, the rubber to hit the road, effort. Lord, give me the grace, give me the strength, give me the right attitude to go and express and to do what you want me to do in this situation. And God will, He will equip you. He'll give you the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the strength to be able to carry it out. And as we come to the table just now, and as we're going to reflect on the cost, the effort that the Lord Jesus went through to save us, the sacrifice, the love, then how that should spur us on in bearing with one another as well.